Hallelujah. I'm continuing this series on being walking in the Spirit and the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh, because in the days we're living in, we need to know the voice of the Ruach and to be led and guided by Him, because there's a lot of voices all over around us. We're hearing this, seeing that, but we need to be led by His Ruach. In fact, the Torah portion today in Numbers was about how Yahweh led them, you know, with the pillar during the day and the fire at night, and they weren't to move unless He moved. And when He stopped, they stopped. And it's a perfect picture, being led by His Spirit and His Ruach in our life. We need the gifts. We need the gifts of the Ruach. And a lot of times this isn't, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great teaching out there on our Hebrew roots. But, you know, there's other parts, too, that we need to study. And it's important for the gifts and healing. These are all important. We need this. You know, we need the knowledge gifts, we need the power gifts, we need the revelation gifts in our life, and they operate as the Ruach Spirit wills. We can't turn it on and off like a water faucet. You know, we don't control the Ruach HaKodesh. He's supposed to control us. Okay, so we need to stay balanced. We need to stay in His Word, because He wants to encourage us with the gifts. He wants to, because the gifts are to function within the body. That's what they're created for, to function within the community and within the body. And we know that the enemy is a counterfeiter. So there are counterfeit gifts out there. There are counterfeits, you know, gifts, but like false, you get like fortune telling, you know, tarot cards, horoscopes, magic, occult practice. These are all counterfeits of the true Spirit and power of Yahweh. And so many people are sucked into that. You know, so we need to walk in the power of the Spirit. You know, and if you don't think that, if you look now, there's even a lot of churches that are encouraging, that are having, you know, New Age and yoga, and those are totally demonic. And if they were listening to the Ruach, the Spirit, they would have known,
That's right.
You know, that is against my word. But when we shut ourselves off to the voice of God, then it leads us into error. Okay? So again, we need to be students, Talmudim, of the Word of Yahweh. Okay, we need to learn how to listen to His Spirit. And His Spirit is it's a still, you know, I learned after, 35 years of spiritual walk in the Spirit, 35 years, I'm still learning. They have His voice. And sometimes I missed it. There's one time I missed it I just had to receive healing from. We had a friend, a Jewish friend of mine. She was a believer in Messiah. She was at her house. We were having a jewelry party. This is when I was single. And it was really foggy out. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, have her stay here. Don't let her go home. And I thought, I must be, I said, no, Dale's not like, she's very independent. She'll just want to go. Well, that night she was killed in a car accident. Somebody, she's with Yahweh, but, you know, again, the voice, don't ever think, and it just, I felt so, like, guilt. I mean, it just really grieved me, but, Yahweh says, that's okay, she's with me, but I just, I distinctly, that's why it's so important to hear His voice, because there may be times you're saying, I don't want you to go there,
right.
Don't go there, and it's for a reason. We're supposed to be right to save us, and praise God, she's with Yeshua, but it was just a very hard lesson to learn, because my reasoning was, oh, I know Dale, she won't want to stay over. She's she was an optometrist, she had a business, and again that night when I got the phone call in the morning, because I had my information, because I couldn't get a hold of anybody, I was like, wow. But praise Yahweh, she is, she is with Him, and I know that, she always say, I want to be with Yeshua. But again, it's very important that we learn, because He leads us and guides us into all truth, and He also helps us make the right decisions. And that is so important. I made some bad decisions when I didn't listen to the Ruach. I listened to the flesh instead. And even though I was getting that, check in your spirit, it's like kind of like it's like an uneasiness inside you, okay? And when I ignored it, I got in trouble, okay? But when I went with it and went with, again, His peace and shalom, and this is learning how, because he wants to lead us and guide us, just as he led the children of Israel. You know, they were, you know, they, you know, depended on that cloud, that manifestation, but we have him within us. You know, he is within us to lead us and guide us into all truth. You know, and if you learn to be led by the Spirit, you will not be deceived. Because the Ruach will let you know who is true and who is not true. Because a lot of people out there can impress you. They're very, you know, Hasatan is very good at putting on a show and impressing you. And a lot of us, we're impressed by people that, you know, how they look and how they talk. And, you know, and it sounds like they're saying all the right things. But in your spirit, you're like, something's not right. Something's not right. Okay, again, that's a protection for us so that we don't get deceived. So we go back into the Word. And we you know, and again, it's every day, walk by walk. Same thing in your prayer life. I mean, the Spirit, the Rock, may wake you up in the middle of the night to start praying for somebody. We need to be sensitive, you know, to His leading and guiding in our life. The Rock is Yahweh. I mean, if you think of that, it's just so often. The Spirit of Yahweh. Within us. You know, we are the tabernacle, the Ruach HaKodesh, and He is tabernacling now within us. I mean, it is just so awesome. And it's also, you know, also should keep us walking in fear and trembling as well. You know, hallelujah. Because I know what it was like one day when, years ago, when I went through a test, and where I actually felt the presence of Yahweh leave me, and it was the most scariest thing I ever went through. Because I was like, where'd you go? You know, I was like, I was always, you know, praying, felt His Spirit, and I was, you know, walking. I mean, I was serving Him and walking, and it was all of a sudden, His presence left me, and it scared me. You know, but again, it was a test, because He had told me later He wanted to see what was in my heart. Okay, but I just continued. I said, Father, I know You're there. You said You'd never leave me nor forsake me. You know, I says, Your word is true. I don't care what I'm feeling now. And I just kept on standing and standing and standing on the word. You know, but it was a test to see what was in my heart. Okay? And then, you know, His presence came back. And I believe He allowed me to see that. I mean, it's a very scary thing not to have, you know, His presence with you, especially when you're used to walking in it. He never left me. He was always there. I just felt like He did. Okay? Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read from the Aramaic translation. This is actually the complete Jewish Bible translation up there in the overhead. So here Paul is addressing the Corinthians. The Corinthians was a congregation that Paul had founded and started. They were very gifted in the gifts, but then there was an abuse of the gifts going on, and he had to go straighten them out. Okay, so he went and he said, and concerning spiritual matters, my brother, I would have you know, on the other translations, I don't want you being ignorant of the things of the Spirit. Yahweh does not want us to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. You have been pagans and have been without distinction, led away after idols in which there is no speech. I therefore explained to you that there is no man that speaks by the Spirit of Elohim who says that Yeshua is accursed. Neither can a man say that Master Yahweh is Yeshua except by the Ruach HaKodesh. So obviously there was something going on there that they had a question for Paul. And he had to tell them, nobody who speaks by the Spirit of Yahweh is going to say Yeshua is cursed. So obviously there were some gifts going on. There was things operating there that were not according to the Word. And Paul had to go there and teach them. And again, I like how the Aramaic says that no one could say that Yahweh is Yeshua except by the Ruach HaKodesh. Yahweh is Yeshua. And Yeshua, salvation. Yahweh is our salvation. Yahweh is Yeshua. Now, there are many gifts, but the Spirit is one. And there are many forms of ministrations, but Master Yahweh is one. And there are many forms of power, but Elohim, who works all in all men, is one. And to each man there is given a manifestation of the Ruach. So we're going over some of the gifts. There's a total of nine gifts, okay? There's the gifts of revelation. That's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Last week we talked about the word of wisdom. Okay, I find myself more and more operating in that. I mean, at work or in here, what it is, it's a knowing what to do in a situation. Okay, it's a supernatural wisdom about how to solve a practical or spiritual problem. Okay, so it's God is revealing to us in our spirit how to solve a problem and how to deal with a situation. You know, the word says, lean not on your own understanding, but always acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Okay, so it's a knowing what to do. You know, how many, I'm sure we've all come into situations where we just didn't know what to do. You know, it could be at work, it could be for your family, it could be, you know, a situation. It's like, and that's where the word of wisdom, where the rock will give you, because he knows all. He'll give you the solution and he'll give you the answer to know what to do. Solomon operated in this all the time. He prayed for wisdom. Okay? The word of knowledge is a supernatural knowledge relevant to understanding a situation. Okay? It could be, especially if you're maybe dealing with somebody who's demonically oppressed or something, and the Spirit will give you a word to let you know what is going on in that person's life. Okay? We'll pinpoint it. And again, it's not something you turn on and off like a faucet. It's as the Spirit wills. But we need to continually be open to the Spirit. And I love this one testimony. Let me see if I have it here. About the importance of yielding to the Ruach HaKodesh. And it's a testimony of Rabbi Chaim. He doesn't give his last name, but Rabbi Chaim was raised as an Orthodox Jew and went to Yeshiva in New York City and was ordained there as an Orthodox rabbi and became a member of the Orthodox Union. In 1974, he went to a Pentecostal church out of curiosity where a woman was speaking in tongues. No one in the church knew what she was saying except Rabbi El. She was praising Yeshua, her Lord, Savior, and Messiah in Hebrew. Rabbi El found out that this lady did not know Hebrew and that she was the only one there who, and that he was the only one there who did. He realized that this was a miracle and that the message was for him. Needless to say, Rabbi El found the church afterwards in fear and fled the church afterwards in fear and dismay. In other words, don't be moved by what you see. But shortly afterwards, he accepted Yeshua as his Messiah and has been a leader in the Messianic Jewish movement in North and South America and has been pastoring a Pentecostal Messianic Jewish congregation ever since. Why? Huh?
I am leaving.
Oh, you know? Okay. So here, you know, this was a woman who yielded herself to speak. And she probably had no clue that this, you know, Jewish man was going to walk in the door and that God had a specific message just for him. You know, and even though he fled, you know, in the natural, you think, oh, we scared him away. Yeah, you did. But the truth, I mean, here is the gift of the Spirit at work, something that was beyond our human ability. She didn't know Hebrew, but she yielded herself and obeyed God, and because she did, this rabbi heard about Yeshua and got saved. It is so important. It is so important not to talk against, and this is for anybody who's listening to this, against the Spirit of Yahweh. If you don't know, keep your mouth shut. If you don't, you know, instead of, do not talk against the gifts of the Ruach. That's a very dangerous place to be. Or use the discernment regarding, says when somebody prophesies, that two or three are to judge the prophecy. Okay, again, that's to keep, it's a protection. Okay, but I see people so many times making, joking about tongues, joking about the things of the Spirit, mocking it. And these are believers, and some Messianic as well. It's like, you better be careful what you're mocking and what you're saying. I mean, God has grace and mercy because he probably knows you're ignorant of the word, but that's a very dangerous place. And what you do, you're hindering the power of God. And Satan is out there doing all these false signs and wonders, doing all these false, you know, lies that people are being drawn to because we refuse to yield ourselves to the Spirit of Yahweh. Because somebody may say something. We don't want, you know, we don't want to, you know, be mocked or anything. We don't, you know, we want to be very dignified.
Just what you were saying a few minutes ago, I was a new believer, and we were at a prayer meeting, and somebody started speaking in an oriental language, and I just like, oh, yeah, right, that's really from God. And you know, the same thing that came upon you, like the Lord just came upon me, and I mean, it scared the heck out of me. It was like, oh my God, what have I done? You know, and I mean, it didn't leave immediately either. It stayed with me. It was like this power, this, the awesomeness of God was telling me, you better watch what you're thinking, you know, in your heart. And so I repented, but I didn't really realize and know that much about the rule of confession at that time, you know. Mm-hmm. But.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I want all that he has for me, because I know I need all of, I need the gifts, I need his wisdom, I need, you know, in walking into this, we need to depend on his wisdom, we need to depend on his power, you know, because the flesh will get us in trouble every time. The emotions will get you in trouble every time. But we are to be led by the Ruach, and you know, he loves us. He's not going to, you know, I don't know why people are so afraid of the things of God, because they don't know, I don't think, they don't realize that God loves them. It says, only guess is every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Yeshua said, if you know, if your son asks you for a bread, are you going to give him a snake or a stone? You know, it's like, what kind of father is that? How much more our Heavenly Father, who is perfect? He, Father, I want everything you have for me so I can do what you have called me to do, not so I can show off, not so I can impress people with my gifts, so people can be ministered to and healed. So unsaved people, they'll see the true power of God at work. They'll see the true anointing of the Holy Spirit instead of the fake and the deception that's out there. And there's a lot of it. And you know what? A lot of it is our fault, because we haven't been obedient to do what he said to do and obey his word. Again, he's telling us is that you were led, being astray, being led astray by idols which can't speak. You know, an inanimate object cannot do anything, but demons work through objects. Okay? So they thought, oh, this object was speaking, when it was just a demonic force, because demonic forces need that. We need to be aware of these things. Okay? We have authority over them in the name of Yeshua. Yeshua gave us that authority in his name. Okay, and we see in the book of Acts, when somebody wanted to buy the gifts and use it for wrong purposes, what happened? Those demons ripped all his clothes off and he went away fleeing. Again, the gifts are something to edify, to build up, and to bless other people and to minister to people. Okay, they're not meant to be abused. A definition of a spiritual gift could be stated as an instantaneous enablement by Yahweh in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh to do or say something beyond one's own natural ability in order to fulfill a specific purpose of Yahweh in the time frame in which Yahweh permits it. I think that's a great definition. Again, it's something that is beyond our natural ability. Is, you know, in any area, in, you know, ministry or whatever God calls you to do, again, you know, doing the conference and everything and this congregation, it's like, we didn't go to a class, you know, like, here's how you do it 101. You know, we were just led by the Ruach as we went. He gave us the wisdom and how to do it, okay, which was beyond our natural ability to do it. And he wants to do that in every one of our lives. Okay, when God, and you better learn how to walk by faith. You better learn how to trust the Ruach if you want to serve him. Okay, if you study any of our, you know, ancestors before us, he never called them to do simple things. He called them to do things that were beyond their own ability to do. Why? So he can get the glory. You see that in the life of, and we'll get to this, in the life of Moses and Elisha, and, you know, and Elijah. So again, we have the gifts of revelation, which is what I'm kind of, I may get into faith, it depends how I feel about it. But again, that word of wisdom, it's a knowing what to do, okay? A knowing what to do by the Spirit of Yahweh when you come up to a situation. The word of knowledge is Yahweh revealing something to say, especially if you're ministering to somebody. And, you know, there's, because demons are very good at hiding themselves. Okay, but the Ruach HaKodesh will reveal this to you. Derek Prince, I tell you, he's, you know, you can learn a lot from him because he's dealt with this stuff. He is, you know, he went to countries and where there was manifestations of demons, and he says, you don't have to yell and shout at them. He says, you just use your authority in Yeshua. You know, you don't have to, ah, ah, you know. He's just very subtle. You know, you come out in the name of Yeshua, the authority of the word. What did Yeshua do? You come out, you know, come out of him and go. Why? Because they know the authority of the word. They know the authority of the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. But we need, again, also the gifts of discerning of spirit, which I'm going to go into a little more detail next time, discerning of spirits, because that is so important today, because we're living in times where the enemy is getting more and more deceptive. You know, that it's that if you don't know the word and if you're not led by the Spirit, it's very easy to be led astray. Okay? Hallelujah. So I'm going to go and we're going to talk. I'm going to talk about. I think we're going to go on to faith. Hallelujah. There's times where again there's a. You know, even the God, Ruach HaKodesh gives you the faith to receive Yeshua, because as you're hearing the word, you realize that that's the truth. Okay, and it brings you to repentance. But then there's that. A gift of faith, which is a supernatural faith for miracles. Okay? Miracles are right? That's why people, a lot of times, when they're believing God for healing, they're expecting a manifestation right there and then. Where healing, a lot of times, is a process. And there's things sometimes that God has to show us in our life and how, you know, it may be something in our own life that's hindering it. You know, that's what we're talking about the class, the wrong attitudes, or it may be the way we're eating that's hindering it. It may be there's just different things, but all in all, He is the healer. Okay, faith is trust in what, and this is just what was as I was like studying and reading this. Faith is trust in what Yahweh says, even though we cannot see it yet, we know if Yahweh says it, it will manifest in His timing because He spoke it. Our faith is based on the fact and Yahweh's integrity and what His word says. Faith acts on what Yahweh says, not on what we can see. Okay, go to Hebrews chapter 11. And faith, very simply, is trust. Trusting Him, trusting His word, and acting on what He says. Again, this is a very familiar verse to everybody. Hebrews 11. I'd like to do a study one time and just do a study on all these people that are mentioned in this book. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to go to the Aramaic translation a minute. Now, faith is the persuasion of things that are in hope as if they were in actual fact, and it is the manifesting of the things not seen. And forth the ancients as well testified of it. For by faith we understand that the worlds were shaped by the word of Elohim, and that things originated from those that were not seen. He spoke it and the words were there. The worlds were formed. By faith, Abel offered to Elohim a better sacrifice than that of Cain, and on account of it, he has testified that he was righteous. And Elohim bore testimony to his offering, and in consequence of it, though he was already dead, yet he speaks. And it goes on to say, all these men and women, verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promise. But to them it was just as real. Because the promise was Mashiach coming, okay? But they saw it because they said because Yahweh told them so. So it was just as real to them, you know, as if it manifested before their eyes. When God gives you a vision to go forward, and He starts speaking to you what He's going to do, it's so real within you even before you see it manifest. And it may, and one thing people have realized that, you know, God moves in His time. A lot of time, you know, I like what this one person, you know, says that, you know, God's not a microwave God. You pop your prayer in the microwave and then you expect it to be done in 10 seconds. There may be time where He'll speak something to you, and it may be 10, you know, I don't want to discourage you, but it may be 10, 20 years before you see the manifestation. Okay, but you know in your heart, you know, Father, You spoke it to me, and in Your timing, it'll come to pass. You know, there's things that He told us that, you know, years ago, I mean, over 35, you know, 20, oh, actually, it was probably about 30 years ago, God kept on saying, you're going to be doing a radio program. I says, okay, you know, in your timing, I don't know how it's going to manifest. Well, you know, 25 years later, I'm doing a radio program. His timing, he just opened the door. Why? Because when I was ready to do it. There's a lot of times that God is doing a work. We have to allow his timing to work in our life. And he is always on time. Hallelujah. And we see what happens when, you know, when, again, in the life of Abraham, God told Abraham, Sarah, you are going to have a son. You know, and the problem came when they thought they needed to help God out. You know, that's what we do sometimes. We think we need to help God out. But, you know, faith is, okay, Father, that, you know, I have that hope in me that what you said is going to manifest in our life. And it's, you hold on to it and you just keep on serving him every day and you hang on to that. You know, like I said, there was like, you know, 10, 20 years some of these things took to bend it. But when you look back, it's like it didn't seem like that long. But again, it's his timing, because his timing is perfect. And he leads and guides you every step of the way. Again, we have, I know there's a lot of teaching out there. You know, just like any move of God, it starts out right, and then, you know, a bunch of people get in and they mess it all up, okay? Faith has been a Hebrew principle from the very beginning. It's not something that all of a sudden somebody thought up of, okay? Living by faith, God expects his people to walk by faith and live by faith and trust him. I mean, that's you know, a no-brainer. You know, if you're my people, you're going to walk in faith and trust in me. It says, without faith, trust, it is impossible to please him. That's what really the Hebraic understanding of faith is. It's trust. Because you know that Yahweh is not a man that he should lie. See, a lot of times we try to, we equate what Yahweh has promised us to what people have promised us. And we know the things that people promise us, you know, it's like a lot of people can say a lot of things and they don't come through. God's not like that. When he says something, it's done. How many prophecies that were spoken of Mashiach coming that the prophets spoke forth in faith? They spoke it forth. God gave them the word, but it didn't manifest until, you know, a couple thousand years later. But it was just as real to them. Same thing with Israel, and same thing with the return of Yeshua. He's coming back. His kingdom is going to be set up. You know, there's a lot. It's like, in the end, God's word is still going to come to pass. Doesn't matter what the enemy, how much the enemy is trying to make it look like it's not, his word will come to pass. Yeshua is returning. He will rule and reign in Yerushalayim. We will be there with him. He will restore all of Israel. He is the one who's going to do it. You know, we may not see it, but faith says, okay, I see it because you said so, Father. It's just as real. Is the day you said it, is it when the day it manifests. It takes faith to do what Yahweh's called you to do. It takes trust. And then there's a supernatural faith that we're for believing in miracles. Again, we see this in the life of Moshe, for example. Obviously, Moshe had no power in himself to tell the Red Sea to part. Okay, he had no power in himself, you know, or Aaron, to throw those rods down and have them turn into snakes. And I think some of the Hebrew translations really said they were like crocodiles or whatever they turned. But that was a supernatural miracle. But he had to go where God told him to go. He had to speak what God told him to speak. And believe me, you think that wasn't a scary thing to go stand before Pharaoh, the ruler of the world at that time, you know, and tell him, let my people go. You know, you don't think that was, you know, marching into his courts with all his, you know, people around him, you know, and here's, you know, and Moshe grew up in the courts of Pharaoh, so he knew, you know, he knew what, but, you know, he knew he was going in the power and authority of Yahweh, not in his own power, in the power, authority in Yahweh. But again, faith, action. If he never went, there would have been no deliverance, okay? When he stood by the Red Sea, if he didn't do exactly what God told him to do, he says, now put forth. Okay, you're right. But it was beyond his ability. That was a miraculous, for those seed to part, that was a miracle. I mean, can you imagine? Wow. It's like, it's just, you know, same thing for Joshua. You know, when they crossed over the River Jordan, I mean, that was a miracle. Yeshua walking on the water, that was a miracle. You know, God is still doing miracles today for his glory. Okay, hallelujah. Again, we see Elisha, you know, the miracles that he did. Let's go to 1 Kings. You know, these are supernatural beyond the ability of man. First Kings 17, I'm sure, you know, we all, if we study the Bible, we know this story. Hallelujah. Actually, there's two. I'm going to look at 18 as well, but 17. Be 17. Let's begin with 1 Kings 17. Let's begin with, this is his meeting with this woman, okay? So, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For this, says Yahweh, your Elohim of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that Yahweh sends rain on the face of the earth." So here is a man who knew the power of God. He had no doubt that he was going to provide for this woman. Verse 18, so she went and did according to the word of Elijah. Okay, she had to act on what the prophet told her to do. She had to act on the word. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke through Elijah. I mean, that was a supernatural miracle that Elijah believed that Yahweh would perform on behalf of this woman. And I've heard of, if you've done any studying of just different modern day miracles of how God supernaturally has provided for different people, I mean, he is still in the business of providing for his people. Hallelujah. Verse 17, and it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So he said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death." And he said to her, "Give me your son." Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where she was living and laid him on his bed. And he called to Yahweh and said, "O Yahweh, my Elohim, hast thou also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to Yahweh and said, "O Yahweh, my Elohim, I pray thee, let this child's life return to him." And Yahweh heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of Yahweh and that the word of Yahweh in your mouth is truth." Hallelujah. I mean, that is somebody who knew the power of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And I believe that in these last days that he's going to, you know, that he is going to supernaturally provide for those who are trusting and walking in the fullness of his word and obedience to his Torah. He knows how to provide for us. He knew how to send manna in the wilderness. He knew how to take care of his people. His God changes not. When we really need it, he will be there to provide for us. Hallelujah. And then we see Elijah with the prophets of Baal. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings 18. Just go over to the next chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let's begin with verse 20. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us 2 oxen, and let them choose 1 ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wool, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh Elohim, who answers by fire. He is Yahweh." And all the people answered, "That is a good idea." It's a good idea, Elijah. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose 1 ox for yourself." Now here is a man that was not afraid to confront the demonic forces. He was not afraid to confront. I mean, he was outnumbered. You know, here's Elijah, and here's all these prophets of Baal around him. But he knew who he was, and he knew who his God was. Verse 28. "Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, answer us.' But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. And it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Call out in a louder voice, for if he is God, either he is occupied or gone aside, or is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened.'" I mean, he knew they had no power. He says, "Okay, why don't you jump a little higher?" You know, it's like, well, maybe he's on vacation. I mean, this was a bold man. Shout a little louder. I could just see him standing there like, "Let's see what else you can do."
You can wake him up.
Verse 29, "It came about at midday. The midday was past, and they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And there was no voice, and no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all of the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Yaakov, to whom the word of Yahweh had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." So with the stones, he built an altar in the name of Yahweh, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offerings and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it. So, I mean, he wanted to ensure this was good and soaked. I mean, it was probably underwater by now. And the water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with the water. Then it came about at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, Yahweh, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt offerings and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I mean, that was a supernatural occurrence. Anybody who's ever tried to lit a fire knows that you cannot make wet logs burn. And these were drenched with water. I mean, he made it impossible in the natural for anybody but Yahweh to do this. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is Elohim." Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and slew them there. I tell you, I think you would be in fear and trembling if you heard Elijah was coming to town. But this was a man who knew how to believe God. He had no doubt, because he knew who his God were, and he knew that no demonic force could, you know, could do what his God can do. And again, it was God's manifestation to bring Israel back. Look, I'm showing you who is God, that these are false gods. They have no place in your life. They have no power in your life. But again, that is supernatural faith. I mean, he had no doubt that God was going to do this. Hallelujah. Let's go to Joshua 14:12. Yehoshua, or Yahushua, however you say you want to say it. Again, Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, if you look at the early believers, they were Jews. They were filled with the Spirit. They kept Shabbat. They kept the feast. And they walked in the full power of God. People were being healed. People were being saved. 3,000 at a time. You know, I mean, people healed. They said, you know, silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Yeshua, be healed. These are people who knew how to believe God, who knew how to trust him. Okay? As much as they needed it back then, don't you think we need that power?
Amen.
Just as much or more today? We need the boldness of the Spirit of Yahweh. We need the boldness of Moshe and Elijah. We need, you know, Yeshua said he's given us, I mean, all things is whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it. Okay? We have, as far as demons, we have no authority over them on our own. But in the name of Yeshua, amen, they have to flee. It is his name. And we're going to go into a little more detail on that later. But again, these gifts are manifested. Their manifestation is to be a blessing to people. They're always to be a blessing, to encourage, to exhort, to bring glory to him. Okay, Joshua 14:12. Now then, give me this hill country about which Yahweh spoke on that day, for you heard, and this is actually Caleb talking, on that day that Anakim were there, the great fortified cities, perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, as the Lord had spoken. Now that's a statement, as I was looking at that in the English, I thought, you know, perhaps, almost, when you say perhaps, that almost sounds like doubt, you know, and I was like, and I didn't really dig into that to see what the Hebrew says, but the Ruach HaKodesh showed me, says no, that it was hope. He was speaking forth hope and faith in Yahweh. Go to 1 Samuel 14:6. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Again, speaking about Jonathan's victory. Okay, let's begin with verse 1. Now that day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come and let us cross over to the Philistines' garrison that is on yonder side. But he did not tell his father. So Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people who were there with him were about 600 men. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of Yahweh at Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, and the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. And between the passes by which Jonathan sought to cross over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp crag on the one side and a sharp crag on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sinai. The one crag rose on the north opposite Michmash, and the other on the south opposite Geba. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Okay, when they use the term uncircumcised, it means without covenant. These people do not have a covenant. Let's go over there. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. Again, it's a hope that Yahweh will be there with them. For the Lord has not refrained to save by many or by few. Hallelujah. Do not think that you need to be in a mega congregation to accomplish things for God. Amen. You know, I believe God gets more glory by the few than he does sometimes by the many. Okay? We have to be willing. Again, we see that in with Gideon. Okay, when he had this army and God whittled it down to like the minimum. And those who were, number one, they were ready for battle. Because he says, I'm going to tell you, if they're licking the water this way or they're approaching, that's how you know who's ready for battle. And the ones that were ready and alert were the ones he chose. So he whittled them all the way down to like, you know, here we got 300 men and we're going against. But you know what? That don't mean anything to God. When he's on your side, it doesn't matter how many are coming against you. You know, when he's on your side, it doesn't matter how big the task may look. He is with you, and he is going to prepare the way. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how few we are, or how big the task is. When God calls you to do it, he makes a way. He makes, believe me, it's like, if anybody knows that, we do. Especially in this congregation, you know. Hallelujah. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let's go to Daniel 3:17. Again, to be a man or woman of faith is to be one that trusts God. Okay, and God, again, as the Spirit wills, I believe that we will see the miraculous if we yield ourselves and we're willing to be obedient to him for his glory. And then, too, that's where the discerning of spirits coming in. Because you need to be able to discern the gifts, and you know. But we'll get into that little later. What did I say, Daniel? Okay. Daniel 3:17. Okay. I'm not going to go too long. Okay. Here is you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I know that we are all familiar with that story. Okay. Here they're, you know, they're in Babylon and they refused. Let's go begin with verse 8. For this reason, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. What else is known, right? They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, O king, live forever. You yourself, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There were certain Jews whom you have appointed over administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made. But if you will not worship, you will be immediately cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire of what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands. Here's where you find out if you really believe God or not. I don't think any of us I know none of us have faced that kind of test yet. Maybe one day we will. I don't know. But God gives you, the supernatural faith to, when you're in that situation, that, you know what, Father? You are able to deliver me. If I go to be with you, that's fine. If you deliver me, that's fine. But it's a supernatural ability to be able to believe God in the face of death. So here, now how many of us, I think, I guess, what's the hottest place there? Probably a steel mill, where they got all these fires. I mean, that's the kind of heat we're talking about, okay? And they're faced with a choice. You bow down, or that's where you're going to go. And they did not hesitate. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They knew that God was well able to deliver them, but if he chose not to, says, there's no way we're going to bow down to you. There is no way. You know, we know that God is well able to deliver us. Again, here we see, this is a miracle here. The Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered. I mean, you could just picture him, you know, turning red and like, you know. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. So he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach. I mean, he was so afraid of them, he had to, like, get his top, you know, top soldiers to tie these guys up in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because of the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew these men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still turned up, tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He responded and said to his high officials, was there not three men who were cast bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to king, certainly, O king. He answered and said, look, I see four men loosed and walking around in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth one is like the son of the gods. Yeshua was there, right there. And I mean, can you imagine? I mean, that is a supernatural miracle. They're just walking around in the midst of this fire as if they were just taking a walk in the park.
Right.
And he's just like, and the ones that threw him in were consumed immediately. I mean, that is... Here, you know, God meeting us. This is a supernatural miracle of Yahweh. Is he able to do that today? Amen. I've read stories of supernatural miracles. There's one story that I read a long time ago. It was called Vanya. I mean, I think I read it 35 years ago. He was a young Russian soldier. And he was a believer. And he went, I mean, and he just told the things, that, I mean, the torture, because they found out you were a believer. You had to serve in the army or not. I mean, they put him through so much torture. But in this story, I mean, they tried to drown him. They couldn't drown him. They tortured him with cigarettes. He said they couldn't, you know, he didn't feel, I mean, just things that God, like, you know, just supernaturally protected him from this pain. I mean, eventually, you know, he was killed, but not until he led many of these other soldiers. I mean, it was like a supernatural God supernaturally walking over this young man because he was bold in the face of a godless society. I mean, it just really put me in an impression on my life, and I never forgot that book. So again, we see the Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire, who responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. They just walked out like they were just walking out from another room. I mean, that is like, wow. Is anything impossible for our God? No. There is nothing impossible for him. Verse 27, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor is the hair of their head even singed. I don't know anybody, but you know that the hair burns like really fast. It doesn't, I mean, you just, and it's gone. Not a hair of their head was singed, and it smells awful too. You know? But I mean, it just goes up in a second. It says, but not one hair of their head was even singed. Why? Because these were men who were willing to take a stand. They knew who their God was. They knew that he could deliver them and he could preserve them, but they were not going to bow down to any false gods. Even in the midst of Babylon, they kept their faith. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yield up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks against anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their house is reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I mean, that's like, our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. I have so much more I can share, but So again, you know, God gives us the faith, the trust to do what he's called us to do. You know, when we pray for people, we know it is a spirit, it's the spirit of Yahweh working through us. But we know when we lay hands on the sick, we believe that he's the healer. If you're laying hands on people or you're believing, you know, well, I'll pray for you. Well, I don't really think God's going to really move. You know, so you think God's going to do anything? You know, it's like, you want somebody to pray for you who knows how to believe God. You want somebody who's going to stand in agreement with you, who is going to be in agreement with you, and is not, you know, isn't limited by what the situation looks like. We cannot be limited by God. It says, you know, Daniel, let me see, where's that? I'm going to end with this. Daniel, I'm trying to remember where it is. Chapter. I think it's chapter 12 I want. Help me find it, Father. Where is it? I know it's about the end time that those who know their God will do great exploits. Yeah, I think it is 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until the time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. You're talking about the end time body of Messiah. Hallelujah. We are going to shine brightly. And it says, who have insight will shine brightly in the expanse of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. He is going to use us to lead many to righteousness. What is righteousness? Yeshua is our righteousness, and Yeshua brings us to the Torah. Hallelujah. I know there's another, maybe it's a different translation, but those that know, I think it says, those that know their God shall do great exploits, and I can't. I can't remember. Anyway, I'll find it like next time. But again, God. Okay, we're just talking again. God wants to you, and we're to desire those gifts to operate in our lives. Again, not so we can impress people, but so God can use us to minister to people. You know, and again, it's so exciting when He uses you in that way too. When he's just like, you know, wow, Father, thank you that you used me to bless that person and to minister to them, that you revealed something to me so that they'll know that you're concerned about them and that you love them. Okay? He'll give you insight in how to help people. Again, he wants to, we're going to talk about, actually we covered, you know, miracles, but we're going to talk more about discerning of spirits next time. Okay? because I think that's very important. Again, these are gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh, who he has given to us to lead and guide us and protect us. If you didn't go, I'll have last week's posted on the website. I just need to edit it a little, which I'm learning to do, so I hope I don't end up wiping off everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ruach HaKodesh will show me what to do. Hallelujah. He is my wisdom. Hallelujah. Alvino Mokane, our Father, King. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. We thank you, Father, that we are not ignorant of things of the Spirit, Father, but we yield ourselves to be used by you, Father, so we can minister your life to people, Father. Father, so we can see, Father, and do what you have called us to do, Father, in these end times, Father, that we will be a blessing to the in the city of Chicago, Father, and that this congregation and all those all over the world that are called by your name, Father, that you will raise them up in the power and authority of your Torah, Father. And we just thank you and praise you, Father, that for all that you have done. Ruach HaKodesh, I ask you to stir up the gifts within every single one of us. Give us a boldness, Father, to go forth, Father. Give us the obedience, Father, to do what you have called us to do, Father. Because we don't want to stand before you, Father, and shame and saying because we didn't obey you. But we want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I just thank you that there is nothing impossible to you. I thank you, Father, that you will work in the lives of our families, that you are bringing people across our children's path, Father. Father, we thank you that you know how to reach our loved ones. You know how to heal our bodies, Father. You know how to meet our needs according to your riches and glory, Father. Father, show us the things that are important in our life and help us, Father, to get rid of the things that are weighing us down and keeping us from going forward. Father, I just thank you, Father, for all you're doing.